This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, you know what never stops is this NBA offseason either. The NBA finally learned what the NFL learned years ago. You got to make sure that your offseason is exciting and different. You got to make sure that there's plenty of people moving parts and excitement. I mean, and that's what the NBA's finally figured out. And it has been a wild few days trying to figure out who's ending up where, what team is going to be, ascending next year. I'm not sure what Oklahoma State's long-term plan is, but I like that they are all over the place on a short-term plan. Let's go to the phone where Michael Lee joins us. You like his work with The Vertical very, very much, NBA senior writer, and he joins us here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Michael, how much have you slept in the last 48 hours?
I haven't slept very much, but not necessarily because of free agency. I have a newborn, so I don't sleep anymore.
Congratulations, Papa. Little boy, little girl.
Little boy.
Oh, man. Well, good. You're going to be. This is the time when you do everything you can for your bride, but then make sure that, because the rest of your life is going to be chasing that kid around. So get ready for it.
Well, I'm already doing a lot this year, so yeah.
Excellent. Congratulations to you. All right, I'm trying to figure this out a little bit, trying to figure out what the game plan is for different organizations. I was praising the Celtics earlier for sort of sitting out this weekend and letting things, sort of stay calm and not make a big move to go get Paul George and rent him for a year. What was your thought about the Celtics weekend? And do you think that their long-term vision looks really good still?
Yeah, because they still going to have Brooklyn's pick next year. They still have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They still are the one team out there that is able to compete now while also building for the future. No other team, especially in the East, can say they're in that position. Either you're a Midland team just trying to hope to get in the playoffs, or you're Cleveland, a team that's just in the championship pursuit. But everybody else, I mean, Boston has separated itself because they still finish with the best record in the East. We could all say, go for it, get Paul George, make all these other moves and just see what happens. But they're still a very good team. They're still very well coached by Brad Stevens. Unless something changed, I believe they're still in the pursuit of Gordon Hayward. So I think that, they're positioned to still do things and make moves when they want to. I think if Danny Ainge hasn't pulled the trigger, he's not confident in maybe believing that a Jimmy Butler or a Paul George is what's going to elevate them, or that maybe he doesn't think that that's going to work. But they still are in a great position in the present and in the future. And considering the fact that Paul's in the West, Jimmy's in the West now, what is standing in their way in the East aside from LeBron? The East got a lot weaker. Boston still added the number 3 pick in the draft, and it's going to be adding another probably top 5 pick next year. So I think they're sitting prettier than everybody else, to be honest with you.
Now, when you talk about where they're sitting, do you think everybody in the Eastern Conference, though, is sort of waiting for LeBron to exit? And right now, why would LeBron next summer want to go to the West, which a lot of people assume, when now the West is the high-rent district? It's going to be a knife fight just to try to get your shot to knock off the Warriors.
Yeah, I'm really just frustrated by the way the power structure has been set up the last, almost 15 years or so, where the West is just where all the premier talent is. The West is where the owners seem to be, going for it. The West is the where the teams, organizations all seem to be willing to contend. While in the East, they just concede to LeBron, and that's really disappointing. Because I think that it would be better for the league if you had some competition, or at least somebody that you could consider a legitimate threat to this LeBron run, but that just hasn't occurred. And, you know, you keep waiting for it to happen, but there's been so much misfortune, either from management, poor trades, just awful trades, bad luck with the draft lottery. I still remember, you know, New Orleans sneaking in and getting Anthony Davis, you know, in that one year when you really needed a franchise-altering player. And then, you know, you get Andrew Wiggins going to Cleveland, but, of course, he gets traded to the West immediately. So even when the East gets a break, it winds up turning out to be a break for the West. I mean, for the West long term. So the West just seems to be where all the talent is, where all the innovation is, where all the and also where the champions are that force the teams in that conference to regroup every year. And in the East, it's just like, well, LeBron's so great, why even try? And I think it's sort of been a lame excuse for the last, at least, especially the last 7 years for LeBron's gone to the finals.
Michael Lee joining us from The Vertical here on the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. Is there anybody in the West that has supplanted the Spurs as sort of the option B to the superiority of the Warriors? Has Houston taken that step? Has Oklahoma City bridged that gap? How do you think the also-rans compared to the Warriors are looking this morning?
You know, the separation from the Warriors and everybody else is so vast, I don't even know if second place matters. Even though there's been some movement, you know, you've seen Chris Paul go to the Rockets now. You've seen the Rockets add a few more defensive-minded players in free agency and trade. And you've also seen, you know, Oklahoma City get Paul George. But you still aren't close to being better than the Warriors. I mean, I don't think anybody would dispute that Kevin Durant is better than Paul George.
Sure.
So they've added Paul George to Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook weren't good enough to beat the Warriors. Kevin Durant is on the Warriors now.
Right.
So I think that's sort of what's happening. So I think it's cool to see names move. It's cool to try to think that there's some sort of arms race, but they're so far out ahead. I mean, it's almost like trying to, you know, say that there's some other, you know, military in the world that can compete with the U.S. It just doesn't happen. All the arms right now are in Golden State, and the fact that they were able to retain Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala, you know, to maintain their continuity going forward, and that they keep finding, you know, diamonds in the rough in the draft. I think the Warriors are just going to continue to keep going until either their Lakers can't afford to pay them anymore. They get tired of playing with each other, or that's basically what breaks up dynasties. It's not necessarily just basketball. And I think the scary part is that Durant and Curry, Clay, Draymond, they just went through year one of the experiment. They're going to try to figure out how to get better, and that's what frightens me.
How do Toronto, Washington, I mean, I'm looking at Toronto, Washington, Boston, Cleveland, and then I'm trying to figure, is it Milwaukee, and then could a team like the Sixers? I mean, what's the Eastern Conference playoff picture going to look like, especially if a guy like Paul Millsap leaves the Atlanta Hawks?
Yeah, I mean, if Millsap leaves, I think, you know, the Hawks are going to plummet. I think Philly's still a ways away. You know, they still got to prove that their guys can be healthy enough to play an entire season.
Sure.
You know, we still haven't seen Ben Simmons. I think he's going to be great. We haven't seen Markelle Fultz yet. They're going to be good players. They're going to be extremely young, so I wouldn't expect a lot from them.
Even in the East, though, I'm looking at eight playoff positions, and I don't know who makes them.
I mean, think Charlotte.
Miami. Yeah.
I think Miami is a team. You get that for right. Sure. You know, and I think that, you know, you got to look at coaching a lot of times with the teams in the East now. It's like, you know, I think Steve Clifford's a good coach. I think he can get Charlotte back in the contention. I think he can probably, you know, make, you know, at least get something out of Dwight Howard to where he'll be engaged, given their past with each other. I love, you know, what Miami's always doing. You know, they were just right there. They were right there, tiebreaker away from getting the playoffs last season. Eric Spoelstra is a tremendous coach. You know, you think about the fact they started 11-30 and then finished 30-11, and they didn't even have Justice Winslow or or Deion Waiters toward the tail end of that run. So I think that those are the teams you're going to look at. It doesn't really inspire a lot of excitement because, again, the talent is so down. The Bulls, like you mentioned, they're down. Indiana, you know, no longer has Paul George, they're down. So it's just going to be tough. There's going to be some young team that's going to sneak in and get in as an eight seed, but it's not going to do much in terms of adding intrigue to the East. I think if I'm a team like the Wizards, I have to look at this as a chance to try to move up even higher, maybe get to third, maybe, you know, the third seed, second seed, you know, and, you know, Milwaukee, obviously, if they can get Jabari Parker healthy or figure out how he can, you know, work with this system that they have in place. You know, with Giannis right now and his rise, I think he's going to be an intriguing piece. And you just hope he gets to stay in the East for the next, you know, 5-6 years. It doesn't all of a sudden get traded to the West for pennies on the dollar.
I'm wondering if the Warriors, Michael, will end up being the greatest sort of dynasty run when, I mean, you don't have years off of being in the finals or in that mix. That of my lifetime. I'm 52, and I'm looking at what the Warriors are set up for, and they already have three straight trips to the championship and two rings to show for it.
Yeah, the scary part, though, the reason why I think they really got to make the most of the next 2 years is because Klay Thompson is going to be a free agent in 2019, and you have to ask yourself, is it going to be worth giving him a max contract, and you've already committed super max money to Steph Curry, and you're about to do something close to that with Kevin Durant. It's just going to be too expensive to maintain this. And even though you're printing money, you're moving to San Francisco, at some point you're going to have to, you know, sacrifice something. Or some team's going to come at Klay Thompson with an offer, you know, to not only give him money, but also the chance to be a focal point again. And I know he loves winning, and that'll be a tough decision that he'll have to make probably going forward. But I think the next 2 years are really, you know, their chance to really separate themselves from the rest of the league. But we've seen it before. You know, we thought the Lakers run was going to last for a long time, too, because, you know, Shaq was just in his prime when they started winning, and then Kobe was so young. But they just got sick of being around each other. You know, then you have injuries, and there's so many other factors that can come that can disrupt the dynasty. But I think the main one is going to be finances with this team, because if they keep this core together and they continue to pay, I mean, if they want to pay Klay, I think I read somewhere that, you know, the next year – This run could cost almost like $1 billion in salary and luxury tax penalty. And I'm not a rich man, but if I were a rich man, I'd like to hold on to some of my money.
That's like the staff. It's like trying to keep the staff of the vertical together. I mean, you know, by the time you try to pay all you guys.
Sometimes things happen, you know.
I mean, there's going to be salary cap things. Michael, I appreciate it, and I thank you for your hard work. And it's been really entertaining to follow, so follow along with Michael Lee and check out all his great stuff. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.